الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we were reading one of the greatest doubts. One of the greatest doubts, those people who ascribe to Islam, yet they commit shirk in creed, and likewise in statement and deed, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. One of the greatest doubts they have with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone with no partners from all aspects, and that is that they say that the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they belied the Messenger and they denied the shahada and la ilaha illallah, and they disbelieved in the day of resurrection and the likes like these affairs. And as for us, then we say la ilaha illallah, and we believe that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we believe in the last day, and we pray and we give charity and we fast and we make hajj. So therefore the situation is different, and you are in reality only making takfir and declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers. How can you declare your brothers to be disbelievers and they're praying with you and they're giving charity with you and they're fasting Ramadan with you? And the answer with regards to this was very clear, and that is that the people of knowledge, they have a consensus that if a person, he were to believe in something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and to accept that, and then to disbelieve with another aspect, and then to disbelieve in another aspect, or to reject that, then he would disbelieve. And in order to fall into disbelief, it's not a requirement that all aspects of disbelief will be gathered with this person. Rather, it only takes one aspect of disbelief. And the author, he mentioned an example: if one were to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he denied the salat, he denied the obligation of salat, he would disbelieve in this manner. Or if he affirmed the obligation of salat, but he denied the obligation of zakat, he would disbelieve in this manner. Or even if he affirmed the tawheed, and he believed in the obligation of salat and zakat, and likewise in the obligation of fasting Ramadan, but he belied and denied the obligation of hajj, he would disbelieve in this manner. And there's a consensus about these affairs. So this issue has proceeded in some detail in our previous class. The author, he continues to clarify even in even greater detail this issue. So in this particular shubha, in this particular doubt, the author, he mentioned a sufficient answer one time in the very beginning. But after this, he mentions again time and time answers and responses to this doubt from more than one aspect. So we continue reading the second aspect. He says, وَيُقَالُ إِذَا كُنْتَ تُكِرُّ أَنَّ مَنْ صَدَّقَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ حَلَالُ الدَّمِ وَالْمَالِ بِالْجْمَعِ وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا أَقَرَّ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْبَعْثِ وَكَذَلِكَ لَوْ جَحَدَ وُجُوبَ صَوْمِ رَمَضَانَ وَصَدَّقَ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ لَا يُجْحَدُ هَذَا وَلَا يَخْتَلِفُ الْمَذَاهِبُ فِيهِ وَقَدْ نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ كَمَا قَدَّمْنَا. So also it will be said to him as well that if you believe and you affirm that whoever believes in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, and then he denied the obligation of salat, then he will be considered a disbeliever, and his blood and his wealth will be lawful, yani to the Muslim judge and ruler by consensus. Also, if he affirms that in everything, and then he denied the resurrection, the same response. If one were to affirm all of the aspects of the deen and to believe in everything except the resurrection, he had doubt about that, or he denied that, or he was not certain about that, then he would disbelieve by consensus. وَكَذَلِكَ لَوْ جَحَدَ وَجُوبَ صَوْمِ رَمَضَانَ وَصَدَّقَ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّ. And likewise, if he believed in all of the aspects of Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with, all of those obligatory actions that are well known by necessity, that are well known about Islam by necessity, yet he denied the obligation of fasting Ramadan, then also he would disbelieve. وَلَا يُجْحَدُ هَذَا. No one denies this. And this is a consensus that even the madhahib al-arba'a, even the four imams who in the likes of these people they follow staunchly and they blind follow staunchly, they all agree to this. So this is something that is well known in the religion. The fast of Ramadan, for example, is a pillar. It's a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And it's an obligation from the greatest obligations and greatest sacred rights of Islam. And if a person were to deny that obligation, he would disbelieve in this manner. He would disbelieve in this manner, even if he fasted. Even if he fasted, he must believe that it's an obligation. This is from the conditions of the Shahada. From the conditions of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. From the conditions of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah and Al-Inqiyad. Al-Inqiyad. Al-Inqiyad means compliance. What is intended? Al-Iltizam bil-Ahkam al-Shar'iyyah. That one he will comply, meaning that he will believe in his heart with certainty that these are the legislative rights and the obligations are obligatory. And their prohibitions are forbidden. Whether he implements them or not, this is another aspect and a greater aspect of the from the perfection of the compliance. But it suffices to believe in the obligation. So if one were to not believe in the obligation, he would not be a Muslim. The obligations that are well known from the religion, like the pillars of Islam, to believe that the five daily prayers, or the obligatory charity, or the fast of Ramadan, or to believe that the pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal is a personal choice. If a person, he wants to do it, he can do it. And if he does not want to do it, he does not have to do it. This is disbelief, regardless of his deeds. Regardless of his deeds. So one, he must have al-inqiyad, yani al-iltizam bil-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. He must believe in these obligations. And then likewise, after that, he must work to implement them as well. But by disbelieving in one of these obligations, there is a consensus. There's a consensus from the scholars that he will disbelieve in this manner. So even if he brought all of them, but he disbelieved in the obligation of one of them, he would disbelieve. And it's not a requirement to disbelieve in all of them. Rather, it's sufficient to leave out Islam, waliyadu billah, by violating one of these sacred rights. By violating one of these sacred rights. He says, وَلَا تَقْتَرِفُ الْمَذَاهِبُ فِيهِ. And the madahib, yani the well-known madahib, the madahib al-arba'ah, they do not differ about this. وَقَدْ نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ كَمَا قَدَّمْنَا. And the Qur'an has spoken this. Likewise, as we have presented previously. Yani this is something that we have discussed in our previous classes. Likewise, in the author, he mentioned that. So he says, فَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ هُوَ أَعْظَمُ فَرِيضَةٍ جَاءَ بِهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. فَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ هُوَ أَعْظَمُ فَرِيضَةٍ جَاءَ بِهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ وَالْحَجِّ. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَحَدَ الْإِنسَانُ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ كَفَرَ وَلَوْ عَمِلَ بِكُلِّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَإِذَا جَحَدَ التَّوْحِيدَ الَّذِي هُوَ دِينُ الرُّسُلِ كُلِّهِمْ لَا يَكْفُرُ. Subhanallah, ma ajaba hadha al-jahl. Subhanallah, ma ajaba hadha al-jahl. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, so it's known, it is well known that the tawheed, the pure and sincere monotheism, is the greatest obligation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. It is known that the tawheed is the greatest obligation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he came with. And it is greater than the salah, and it is greater than the zakat, and it is greater than the fasting, and it is greater than the pilgrimage. So how now, if a person who were denying the obligation of one of these affairs, he would disbelieve? And by consensus, no one will deny that. If he were to not deny the obligation of one of these other pillars, the salah, or the zakat, or the sawm, or the hajj. So how if a person were to deny one of these affairs, he would disbelieve, even if he did all of the deeds that the Prophet ﷺ came with. Even if he worked with everything, and he implemented everything. He's taking the shahada, he's making the tasbih, and the adhkar in the morning and in the evening. He's fasting, obligatory, non-obligatory. He's giving his charity, obligatory, non-obligatory. He's traveling, making hajj, and the likes like this. But if he were to deny one of these things, none of those actions would be accepted. If he were to deny one of these things, none of those actions would be accepted. And this is something that is well known. This is something that the Muslims, the scholars from them, they do not disagree with regards to. So he says, وَإِذَا جَحَدَ التَّوْحِيدِ. And then if this is the case, and you believe this, and then if he were to deny the tawheed, which is the pure religion of all of the messengers, alayhim as-salam, he would not disbelieve. He would not disbelieve. Subhanallah. How amazing is this ignorance? How amazing is this ignorance? And they affirm that which has preceded, but then they do not affirm that the one who denies the Tawheed, he will not disbelieve. and he denied the tawheed, he would not disbelieve. This is great ignorance. Waliyadhu billah. So here this response here is what the people of knowledge, they mention qiyas al-awla. Qiyas al-awla. And this is a type of analogy or reasoning that it's more rightful. That if a person who were to deny the obligation of Hajj, for example, he would disbelieve no matter what his deeds were. That if that's the case, even more rightful if he were to deny the obligation of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah and wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, even more rightful if he would disbelieve by denying or violating the right of Salat, then more rightful the Tawheed, the Zakat, the more rightful the Tawheed, the fasting of Ramadan, the more rightful the Tawheed. If he said that it's not obligatory for him to fast Ramadan, then all of the Muslims, they'll declare him a disbeliever. So more rightful the Tawheed. If he said it's lawful to direct some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal to the creation, to a dead man in a grave, or to a righteous man, or to a prophet, and the likes like this, even more rightful he would disbelieve. But they do not find it this way. And so this is clarifying, yani subhanallah, glorified is Allah Azza wa Jal, high above this falsehood, ma ajaba hadal jahil. How amazing is this ignorance. The third aspect, he says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا. Now he's being very generous with knowledge, رَحِيمَهَ اللَّهُ وَتَعَالَى. And وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا لِهَؤُلَىٰ. Also it will be said to them, أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَاتَلُوا بَنِي حَنِيفَةَ وَقَدْ أَسْلَمُوا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. Also it will be said to them that the companions, radiallahu anhum, of the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the companions of the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, they fought Banu Hanifa. And they accepted Islam along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a tribe named Banu Hanifa, and in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accepted Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they testified and bore witness to the Tawheed of Allah and to the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to pray with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man from them claimed prophethood, Musaylimah al-Kadhab. He's from Banu Hanifa. Musaylimah al-Kadhab. His name is Musaylimah the liar. He claimed prophethood after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they believed in him. So these people here, they accepted Islam with the best to accept Islam, and they prayed with the best to pray with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after Islam, they continued to make the shahada, and they continued to believe, they continued to say La ilaha illallah, and they continued to say Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they continued to pray, and they continued to do the other rites about Islam. But why did the companions fight them? Because they claimed that Musaylimah was a prophet. They claimed that Musaylimah was a prophet. So they disbelieved in the issue that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the seal of all prophets. They did not disbelieve in the messengership or the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, they would say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they'll pray. And they'll pray and establish the rights of Islam. But along with that, they claimed that Musaylimah was a prophet. So they disbelieved in the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the last prophet. He's the last prophet. So with this, the companions, they fought them, and they declared them to be disbelievers. The companions, they fought them and declared them to be disbelievers. So this is what he's saying here. وَقَدْ أَسْلَمُوا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُصَلُونَ وَيُؤَذِّنُونَ. So the companions, they fought them. And they accepted Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They bear witness to La ilaha illallah and to Muhammad and Abduhu Rasuluhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they pray and they make the adhan. So if we look at these people here, these people, they violated the second shahada. They violated the rights of the second shahada. The shahada anna Muhammad and abduhu wa rasuluhu, which necessitates the one that believes that in everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is informed. And from that, wala nabiyya ba'di, and there's no prophet after me. So likewise what Allah, he mentioned in his book, wa ma kana Muhammadun aba'a hadir min rijalikum, walakin رسول الله وخاتم النبيين ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. So this is something that is established. They disbelieved in that. They disbelieved in the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the final messenger. So they violated the right of the second shahada. They violated the right of the second shahada. So these shahada, these two shahada, they go hand in hand. If someone violated the rights of the first one, he would disbelieve. Or if he violated the rights of the second one, he would disbelieve. Even more rightful if someone were to violate the rights of the second one, which is related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more rightful that he would disbelieve if he violated the rights of the first one, which is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we talk about these issues here, the two shahada, yani it says if we speak about it as one, violating the rights of either one of them is a means of disbelief. Waliyadu billah. So Banu Hanifa, they raised a man to the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what they did, and they disbelieved in that manner. They raised a man, Saylama al-Kadhab, Musaylama al-Kadhab. They raised him to the level of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming that he had prophethood and received revelation like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand this? Banu Hanifa, what did they do? They raised a man to the level of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they disbelieved in this manner. And the companions, they all agreed that they disbelieved and they apostated, and they fought them, radiyallahu anhum. So the people here that we're discussing now, the people who have the grave worshippers and the likes, and those who are calling on the saints and the awliya, they have transgressed even greater than Banu Hanifa. They have transgressed even greater than Banu Hanifa. They're raising a man to the level of Allah azza wa jal. They're raising the awliya, some of them, to the level of Allah azza wa jal, believing that they have command and authority through the land, and that they have the ability to save and to protect and to hear from far distances and the likes like this, and to help the cause. And even some of them, they have even worse creeds than that no one will enter paradise except with the permission of the wali, and that there is a certain number of awliya that are in control of the universe and the likes like this, and so on and so forth. They have great false beliefs, great false beliefs, even worse and more severe than Banu Hanifa and those who are upon that way. So he says, فَإِنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مُسَيْلَمَةَ النَّبِيِّ. So now if they say, okay, well, that's right, but these people, they bear witness that Musaylama is a prophet. If they bear witness that Musaylama is a prophet. So they're trying again to find the fariq. They're trying to find the difference between them and the first generations of mushrikun. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that we're different from them. We're not like them. So since we're not like them, we don't take the same ruling. But we've been discussing this whole time all these aspects of how they are exactly the same. The same in their creed, the same in their belief, the same in their actions, and the same in the reason. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا يُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. So the same, they say the same thing for the same reason. They just changed the name. So now, if they are trying to deny that, there's a difference here, so the ruling doesn't apply to us that applied to them. This is the point now. So now if you tell them this affair, he's going to say to you, but those people from Banu Hanifa, they say that Musaylama is a prophet. They say that Musaylama is a prophet. You understand this? So they're different from us. We don't say Musaylama is a prophet. Okay? You have to understand. It's very important. Okay, he says, قُلْنَا هَذَهُ الْمَطْلُوبُ. This is what we're looking for. You say to him, that's right. This is what we're looking for. إِذَا كَانَ مَنْ رَفَعَ رَجُلًا فِي رُتْبَةِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَفَرَ وَحَلَّ مَالُهُ وَدَمُهُ وَلَمْ تَنْفَعُهُ الشَّهَدَتَانِ وَلَا الصَّلَاةُ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ رَفَعَ الشَّمْسَانُ وَيُوسُفُ وَصَحَبِيًّا شمسان أو يوسف أو صحابيا أو نبيا أو غيرهم في مرتبة جبار السماوات والأرض سبحانه ما أعظم شأنه كذلك يطبع الله على قلوب الذين لا يعلمون. So he says, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're trying to establish. So you say to him, this is what we're trying to establish. If someone who raised a man to the status of the Prophet, he disbelieved, and his wealth and his blood will become lawful, and he will not be sacred anymore, he will not be a Muslim anymore, and the shahadatan, the two shahada, will not benefit him, and nor would his prayer, then how about someone who raised Shamsan, O Yusuf, O a companion, O a prophet? Shamsan and Yusuf, these are individuals who were worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla and raised, and he raised to high rank and status and worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla in the time of some of those people whom they claim to be awliya. And you like what we have today, Dusuki and Jailani and Rifa'i and Bedawi and the likes like this, and other so-called awliya, that they have these individuals who seem similar like this, people well-known in his time. So he says, if that's the case, then how about someone who raised the likes of these individuals, or a companion, and you like Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum, or a prophet like Prophet Muhammad or Prophet Isa alayhim as-salatu was-salam, or other than them to the level of Al-Jabbar, Jabbar as-samawati wal-ard, yani the Lord of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, subhanallah, how great is his affair, yani how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَذَلِكَ يَطَبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. In this manner, Allah, he seals the hearts of those who do not know. In this manner, Allah, he seals the hearts of those who do not know. So again, this is very clear. This is very clear. These people, they raised a man to the level of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how about those who raise a man to the level of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Even more rightful, he would disbelieve. Even more rightful, he would disbelieve. If someone believed that a man has some of the specific qualities and traits only the Prophet he has, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like receiving revelation from the heavens. He would disbelieve. And the companions, they have a consensus about their disbelief, and they fought them because of that. Then how about somebody who believes there's a man who has some of the specific traits, who has some of the specific traits only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the ability to hear. Like the ability to hear and to know the affairs, like the people who call on the awliya, they call on them from far off lands. Believing that they can hear them. This is believing that they have the ability to hear them, and the ability to help them, and the ability to save them, and even they're dead, or even they're in India, or in their other and far off lands. So now they have believed that these individuals, they have this absolute hearing that is only the trait and quality of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, He is the one who has the absolute hearing and the ability to hear all things far and wide, close, far and near, and the likes like this. So to believe in these affairs, or to believe that they can save them from these events, or to provide for them a child, so on and so forth, these are things that's specific to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So no doubt, even more rightful that this person, he would disbelieve. The author, he continues, he says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا. He says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا. Also it will be said to them, yani in refutation of this foul affair. To remember, what is this foul understanding, or what is this weak proof that they say? We're Muslims, we pray, we say the Shahada, we pray. How can you declare your brothers to be disbelievers? We make the Shahada, we pray, we give Salah, we fast Ramadan, we're making Hajj, we're making Adhkar, we're making the Adhan, we're doing all these actions of worship, we're establishing the religion and the likes like this. But the point is to clarify that all of that can be violated. All of that can be violated by one statement, or by one action, or by one creed, or by doubts, So this is the points that are being made. So it says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا. It will be said to them also, أَلَذِينَ حَرَّقَهُمْ عَلِيُّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِالنَّارِ كُلُّهُمْ يَدَّعُونَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He says, those people who Ali ibn Abi Talib رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he burned them in the fire. And the individuals, they claimed that Ali radiallahu anhu, he was Allah. He was Allah. They were coming to him and they would say, Anta huwa. There's you are him. And you're Allah. They claimed that Ali was Allah. And even Ali, he denied that, and he reprimanded that, and he refuted that. They continued until Ali radiallahu anhu, he built a great fire and he threw them in. And he threw them in and burned them to death. And this is what is being referred to here. Any of these individuals in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum, they claimed that Ali was Allah. Anta huwa. They claimed that Allah, that Ali, he was Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he burned them in the fire, and all of them, they claim al-Islam. And all of them, they claim that they say the Shahada and la ilaha illallah, and also they say Muhammad Rasulullah. But along with that, they claim that Ali was Allah. They claim that Ali was Allah. وَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ عَلِيٍّ. And they're from the companions of Ali, and the followers of Ali in that day. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَتَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And they learned knowledge from the companions. And these are from some of the students of the companions. These are from the tabi'un. And here from some of the students of the companions. They accepted Islam with the companions. They learned from the companions. And they learn from, and they're in the company of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum. Yet this deviant idea came to them. And they spoke that and stated that. And Ali, radiallahu anhu, he did what he did. He said, وَلَكِنْ اِعْتَقَدُوا فِي عَلِيٍّ مِثْلَ اِعْتِقَادٍ فِي يُوسُفْ وَشَمْسَانْ وَأَمْثَالِهِمَا. But they had a creed and belief with Ali, radiallahu anhu, the same, the likes of the creed of these people here with Yusuf and Shamsan. Any of those two individuals, one of them was in around the area of Ahsa, and the other one in another area maybe close to Kuwait and the likes like this. But there are graves that were worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. Individuals they deemed to be righteous and the likes like this. Even one of them, it's mentioned in his lifetime, he would call the people to worship him, claiming that he was that he had high and lofty status, so on and so forth. So these individuals here, Yusuf and Shamsan, they were individuals in the time of that the people had transgressed the limits with regards to, and he had fallen into shirk with regards to. So he's telling them that these people, that Ali radiallahu anhu, he burned them in the fire, they had the same creed these people have with regards to these men here, and with regards to these so-called awliya, and with regards to these so-called righteous men in the grave. They had the same creed. فَكَيْفَ أَجْمَعَ الصَّحَابَةُ عَلَى قَتْلِهِمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ. So how did the companions, they have a consensus, and all of them agree all together to fight them and to kill them because of their disbelief? They all agreed that to kill them and that they're disbelievers. Then he says, أَتَظُنُونَ أَنَ الصَّحَابَةُ يُكَفِرُونَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Do you think that the companions are declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? And because this is what they're saying to them. This is what they're saying to the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. لِمَاذَ تُكَفِرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. لَا تُكَفِرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Why are you declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? Why are you declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? That's what they're saying here in this doubt. We make the shahada. We're praying salat. We're giving charity. We're fasting Ramadan. We're praying and we're giving the adhan in the masjid you're praying in. Like we're giving the adhan. We're like you. We're your brother. Why are you declaring us to be disbelievers? We're Muslims. Don't declare the Muslims to be disbelievers. This is what they claim. So here, all these examples here, these were individuals likewise. Banu Hanifa and the companions of Ali, they're all individuals, they're making the shahada. They're all individuals, they're praying. They're all individuals, they're making the adhan. They're all individuals establishing the rights of al-Islam. But they performed an action or had a belief that violated that. So therefore, the companions dealt with them accordingly, considered them to be disbelievers. So now he's saying, أَتَظُنُّونَ أَنَ الصَّحَابَةَ يُكَفِّرُونَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Do you think that the companions are declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? And do you think that the companions are declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? Of course they're not doing that. They declared them to be disbelievers because they disbelieved. And to declare a Muslim to be a disbeliever unlawfully is from the greatest of oppression, from the worst of all sins. From the greatest of oppression and from the worst of all sins, to declare a Muslim unlawfully, unrightfully, without evidence or proof, incorrectly, to be a disbeliever. This is from the greatest violations. This is from the greatest violations, from the lowest of deeds. What do you have to believe? You think the companions are doing this? You think the companions are going around declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers? Nah, that's not the case. They only did that. They only declared them to be disbelievers and burned them in the fire and went to war with that tribe because they violated the rights of the shahada and they left Islam in that manner. And they had to be dealt with properly, and according to the law and legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَتَظُنُّونَ أَنَ الْاِعْتِقَادِ فِي تَاجٍ وَأَمْثَالِهِ لَا يَضُرُّ وَالْاِعْتِقَادُ فِي عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ يُكَفِّرُ. Do you think that having a creed in Taj and the likes of him, another Taj is another individual who was alive in their days or was worshipped in their days, any from the awliya, he was either alive or from the graves that were worshipped in those days. And he says, do you think that having a creed in Taj and the likes of them does not harm a person? But if you have a creed in Ali ibn Abi Talib, it will cause you to disbelieve. And for example, the people who have a creed with Bedouin today, do you think that having a creed with Bedouin is not going to harm you? But if you have a creed with Adi, it's going to cause you to disbelieve? And even more rightful, if having a creed in Adi, from the best of the people, radiallahu anhu, from the best of the people, if you believe that he has some of these special qualities that's for Allah Azza wa Jal alone, then more rightful somebody lower than him. the more rightful somebody lower than him. So all of this is from Qiyas al-Awla. Qiyas al-Awla, yani even more rightful. Even more rightful. So these people, they have a creed in Bedouin. A man who came later. A man who came later, way later, many generations later. Generations later, not 100, many hundred years later. They have a creed with him. And they believe that creed in him is not going to harm them. But the creed in the Ali is going to harm them. Rather, it's the same. Rather, it's the same. The people of not, as they say, إِلَّةُ الشِّرْكِ التَّشْرِيكِ فَلَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ شَرِيكٍ وَشَرِيكِ إِلَّةُ الشِّرْكِ التَّشْرِيكِ The reason for the shirk being ascribed is taking a partner. Is taking a partner. And if this is the case, how does shirk occur? By taking a partner. How does paganism occur? Polytheism occur? Associating partners with worship occur? By taking a partner with Allah Azza wa Jalla in any aspect of worship. فَلَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ الشَّرِيكٍ وَالشَّرِيكٍ So there's no difference between one partner and another. Whether he took Ali, or whether he took Badawi, or whether he took Zuqi, or whether he took this one, or whether he took that one, even Prophet Muhammad or Prophet Isa, any partner that's taken, doesn't matter what partner it is. لَا إِلَّةُ الشِّرْكِ التَّشْرِيكَ فَلَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ شَرِيكٍ وَشَرِيكٍ This is a great principle. The reason how shirk occurs is by making partners, having an associate. There's no difference between one partner and another. Any partner someone takes and directs a right of Allah to that partner, regardless of who he is, major or minor, honored or lowly, then he would disbelieve and fall into shirk in this manner. He would disbelieve and fall into shirk in this manner, even more rightful. Even more rightful. If a person he made shirk with Ali, even more rightful somebody who made it with those lesser than him. Radiallahu anhu. Number five, another response, the fifth response, he says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا And it said to them also, بَنُوا عُبَيْدٍ الْقَدَّاحِ الَّذِينَ مَلَكُوا الْمَغْرِبِ وَمِصْرَ فِي زَمَنِ بَنِ الْعَبَّاسِ كلهم يشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويدعون الإسلام ويصلون الجمعة والجماعة فلما أظهروا مخالفة الشريعة في أشياء دون ما نحن فيه أجمع العلماء على كفرهم وقتالهم وأن بلادهم بلاد حرب وغزاهم المسلمون حتى استنقذوا ما بأيديهم من بلدان المسلمين Also it will be said to them as well بنو عبيد القداح Banu Ubaid al-Qaddah, they need the tribe of Ubaid al-Qaddah. His name is Ubaidullah al-Mahdi. He died in the year 322. Waliyadu billah, from the worst of mankind, from the worst of the people. And they had an empire known as Khilafa al-Ubaidiyya. And they're known as al-Ubaidiyun. And also they're known as al-Fatimiyun. Al-Fatimiyun. But this one is not the proper inscription. And this is falsehood and a lie. This is falsehood and a lie. This individual here, Ubaidullah al-Mahdi, yani he was from Maghrib. It's mentioned that he was a Jew likewise. But then he displayed outwardly at Islam, entered into Islam, and then he gathered a lot of followers. He went to many different places. And finally, he had gathered lots of followers, and they had a great kingdom. They had a great kingdom, and they ascribed to be from the lineage of Fatima. That's why they're called Fatimiyun, Ad-Dawla al-Fatimiyya. Ad-Dawla al-Fatimiyya. But what is correct is that it's Ad-Dawla al-Ubaidiyya. Ad-Dawla al-Ubaidiyya. They're ascribed to Ubaid, this person here. They're ascribed to this person here, and not to Fatima. And the people of Nanas, they have a consensus likewise that that's a lie and a false description. And they're not from the lineage of Fatima, radiallahu anha. Rather, they're liars, and they're from the worst of the people. They're from the worst of the people. If you read about their biography, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, you'll find the worst of things there, waliyadhu billah. And if you read about them likewise, in his biography, this person here, in Sir Al-Aman Nubala, yani Al-Dhahabi starts out, and he mentions his name, Ubaidullah, and then he mentions his name, he says, Aduullah, La'anuhullah, and he's the enemy of Allah. May the curse of Allah be upon him. And explaining who this person was and the evils that they had come with. So they're also known as Al-Bathiniyya. Al-Bathiniyya. Because they had inwardly a belief and creed, and outwardly they displayed Islam. But inwardly they had disbelief. So they're known as Al-Bathiniyya. And the Islam that they displayed outwardly was a rafd. But inside their hearts, there was a nadiqa. They were disbelievers. They were malahida. They disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. They disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. They claimed, even the Islam that they claimed was the worst of those who claimed to add Islam, the rafida. So this is what they displayed outwardly. This is what they displayed outwardly, and this is the kingdom that they established. First, they were started in the Maghrib, which is the area of Morocco and Tunis and Algeria and the likes like this. And then they moved to Egypt, and they had a great empire in Egypt. And their kingdom stretched for 280 years, waliyadhu billah. And they had 14 different khalifa, and they were from the worst of the people. They are from the worst of the people. What the author he's referring to now, he's saying that Banu Ubayd al-Qaddah, the tribe of Ubayd al-Qaddah, this individual here, they had authority over Morocco and Egypt in the time of Banu al-Abbas. And all of them, they testify in La ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and they claim al-Islam. They have a claim to be Muslims, and they claim al-Islam, and they pray the Jumu'ah, and they pray the Jama'ah, originally in the beginning of their affair. They pray the Jumu'ah. In their kingdom, the Jumu'ah is established. In their kingdom, initially, and the 5 daily prayers, they're established, and the Adhan, it is raised. He says, but whenever they outwardly opposed the legislation, and affairs that are lesser than that we're discussing, the scholars, they agreed that they had disbelieved, and they agreed all to fight them. And they agreed likewise that their lands was the lands of war. And the Muslims, they raided them and fought them until they regained everything in their hands from those lands and gave them back to the Muslims. They saved those lands from their hands and put it back in the hands of the Muslims, in the hands of the Muslims. So what the author he's referring to here, when that's lesser than that we're talking about, in the beginning they outwardly began to oppose the legislation, and from that they declared it permissible for a man to marry a woman and her sister, which is haram in Islam. So they declared this to be permissible, and they were doing that it's lawful for a man to marry a woman and her sister. And they also had outwardly displayed other issues, claiming things that were haram to be halal. And they began to take the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jal very lightly. This was something that became seen from them. It became seen from them that they declared these things to be lawful. And at this time, whenever they declared these things to be lawful that were clearly haram, these outward affairs from the actions of the deen, this is whenever the people of knowledge, they declared them to be disbelievers and they fought them. But even eventually after that, they became more severe and more worse. وَلِيَذِ بِلَانْ to the extent that many, many scholars were killed at their hands. And a scholar, they would meet the people of the Sunnah and the scholars of the Sunnah, and they would tell them to curse the companions. And if they didn't curse the companions, they would kill them. They would kill them. And anyone who said radiallahu anhum on the Sahaba, they would be killed. They would be killed. And even they went so further than that, that they declared their leader to be Allah. And any time the name of the leader is mentioned, is even mentioned in the markets or in the streets, if his name is mentioned, everyone must prostrate. Everyone must prostrate. Even if he's not there. If the name of the ruler is mentioned, then everyone must prostrate. And they're the ones who invented the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and celebrated that, and the birthday of Ali, and the birthday of Fatima, and the birthday of Hassan and Hussein, and also the birthday of every one of their leaders. And they had a birthday for many different individuals in this manner like this. These people here, from the worst of the people. Many, many foul things that they did. Wallahi, they're from the worst. They're from the worst of those who ever ascribed to al-Islam, and they harmed Islam in the greatest manner. So, but what the author he's referring to here is their initial display outwardly of opposing the legislation in the actions and in the halal and the haram. And at this time, the believers, the Muslims, declared them to be disbelievers, and they fought them, and they regained their land, alhamdulillah. Even Qahira was established by these people, and the University of Azhar was established by these people. Was established in the beginning to establish this creed, the creed of Rafd, waliyadhu billah, and what they are talking about. So they displayed outwardly to be from the Rafidah, but inside they disbelieved. Inside they concealed disbelief, waliyadhu billah. The point is that these people, they're praying. These people, they're making the shahada, they're praying, they're making the adhan, But there is a consensus from the people of Najd that they all disbelieved. That they all disbelieved and they were fought. And they were fought. Number six, he says, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا And it said to them also, إِذَا كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا إِلَّا لِأَنَّهُمْ جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَتَكْذِيبِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم والقرآن وإنكار البعث وغير ذلك فما معنى الباب الذي ذكر العلماء في كل مذهب باب حكم المرتد وهو المسلم الذي يكفر بعد إسلامه ثم ذكروا أشياء كثيرة كل نوع منها يكفر ويحل دم الرجل وماله حتى إنهم ذكروا أشياء يسيرة عند من فعلها مثل كلمة يذكرها بلسانه دون قلبه أو كلمة يذكرها على وجه المزه واللعب واللعب. He says here also it will be said to them if those mushrikun, those first pagans, they did not disbelieve except because they gathered between making shirk and denying the messenger and denying the Quran and likewise belying the resurrection, and other than that, then what is the meaning? Then what is the meaning of the chapter that the scholars they mention in every single madhab, in every single madhab, and in the Hanafi madhab, and the Maliki madhab, and the Shafi'i madhab, and the Hanbali madhab, every one of the scholars of these madhab and their books of jurisprudence and fiqh, they have a chapter. They have a chapter. Any book of fiqh from any madhab, from the former madhab, if you open it close to the end of that book, you will find that this chapter here, the author, he's referring to. So if this is the case, that those pagans, they only disbelieve because they gathered between all of these affairs. They disbelieved in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they disbelieved in the Quran, and they disbelieved in the resurrection, and they didn't pray, and like this, all of these things they did is why they disbelieved. Then what is the meaning of this chapter that the scholars, all of them, they have in all of their books of fiqh, and it's known as Babu Hukmi al-Murtad. Hukm al-Murtad is the book, it's a chapter about the ruling of the apostate. The ruling of the apostate. He says, and the apostate who would Muslim aladhi yakfuru ba'di islamihi. And the apostate is a Muslim who disbelieved after his Islam. Who disbelieved after his Islam. So this is yani in the issue of ar-riddah. Ar-riddah, waliyadhu billah, and it's called apostation. Apostation, and that is Al-Kufru Ba'da Al-Islam. Al-Kufru Ba'da Al-Islam. Or Kufru Al-Muslim. Waliyadhu billah. That a person he would disbelieve after embracing Islam. Or it is the fact that a Muslim he will fall out of the fold of Islam into disbelief. Into disbelief. Waliyadhu billah. So this is what he's talking about now. Whenever we read the books of fiqh, you will find in the end of the chapters, before the end of the book, you'll find this chapter here. Babu Hukmi Al-Murtad. You'll find Kitab al-Riddah, according to the terminology. Kitab al-Riddah, the book of apostation. Or Bab Hukm al-Murtad, the chapter with regards to the ruling of the apostate. And they'll mention in this chapter many different aspects of how one will apostate. How apostation occurs. Some of the people of knowledge have even mentioned over 400 points. And they have went in great detail in this. Some of them they mention a few, others they mention more. Some of them have even went so far to mention 400 points of how a person can apostate from the deen of Islam. And 400 different points. 400 different points. And so this is something that's well known. This is something that is well known. In general, the people of knowledge, they say that ar-riddah, it occurs, apostation occurs, biqawlin, with a statement on the tongue. Biqawlin yuladu al-Islam, with a statement that is contrary from its foundation to al-Islam. Aw bifi'lin yuladu al-Islam, or by an action. In these manners, it doesn't have to be all of them. One of them, just one statement that's contrary in entirety to al-Islam, like cursing Allah Azza wa Jal, or making fun of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or belittling the deen, or talking bad about the Quran, or laughing and joking about the sacred rites of al-Islam and the likes like this. This is a statement, even if he didn't believe it, but he said it with his tongue, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ He would disbelieve. أَوْ فِيلْ يُضَدُّ al-Islam, or an action that is contrary and entire to al-Islam. And al-Islam is based upon a ta'zim, magnification, veneration, love and respect. And this is the basis of the deen is this. So if somebody did an action that's contrary, that violates that in entirety, he would disbelieve. Like for example, somebody, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, throwing the mushaf in the trash. Or passing urine on the mushaf. or the likes like this. This is disbelief. Or kicking the mushaf on the ground with his foot. Waliyadhi billah, if somebody did the likes of this, he would disbelieve. He would disbelieve. Waliyadhi billah, even if in his heart he believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. But by doing this action, which is violating and contrary an entirety to al-Islam, showing no reverence and no honor, then he would disbelieve in this manner. Or prostrating, for example, before men. This is disbelief. This is disbelief. It's an action. أو اعتقاد يضاد الإسلام, or a creed that's contrary to al-Islam. So it can be by a statement, or by action, or by a creed. أو شكٌ يضاد الإسلام, or a doubt that's contrary to al-Islam. So al-Islam or al-Iman, we learned about al-Iman. Al-Iman, اعتقاد وقول وعمل. صح؟ al-Iman, قول وعمل واعتقاد. Al-Iman, sincere faith in Islam, is a statement and an action and a creed. Statement, action, and creed. And the creed must be with certainty. Right? The creed, it must be with certainty. Al-Iman, qawlun bil-lisan, wa'amalun bil-jawarih wal-arkan, wa'itiqadun bil-jinan. Faith is with the tongue. A statement with the tongue, actions on the body parts, and likewise creed in the heart. And that creed, it must be with certainty. So just as this is the reality of Iman, kufr is established in the same manner. So kufr, disbelief occurs also with the tongue, and also with the actions, and also with the creed, and also with doubt, and also with doubt. So these are the ways that the Iman is violated entirely. The Iman is violated entirely. Is removed absolutely, waliyadhu billah, by a statement, or by an action, or by a creed, or by having doubt. By having doubt. When we say doubt here, we're not talking about maybe a doubt that just comes. It comes by, people have doubts, whispers from the devil. This is not the type of doubt that takes a person out of Islam. Some doubt comes about some affairs and creed, and it's just a whisper from the whispers of shaitan. He's a'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, and he throws it away, and he doesn't pay attention to it. This one is not disbelief. The doubt is one he really doubts. He's like, he's doubting. Yeah, maybe he's not the messenger of Allah. Or maybe we're not going to be resurrected. And he thinks that. He's not sure. Right? This is the one that will take one out of Islam. As for having some doubts that just come across the mind, you don't think about it, just come from nowhere. Shaitan, he cast it onto your heart. And then you repel it, and you don't think about it, and you seek refuge with Allah. This one does not harm. But to have doubts, like literally to not be certain about these rights of al-Islam, then this one will take one out of Islam. This one will take one out of Islam. So this issue now is about this chapter. So the people of knowledge, they agree about this. They agree about this. And all of the madhahib, they agree about this issue. That there's a chapter in the books of fiqh, just like there's a chapter, for example, Nawaqid al-Wudu. Right? Nawaqid al-Wudu, the validators of wudu. وَمُبْطِلَاتْ الصَّلَاةِ and the invalidators of salah. وَمُفْسِدَاتْ الصِّيَامِ and the invalidators of fasting. And the likes. We have all of these affairs in the books of fiqh. Also in those same books. And all of the scholars, they have this. In all of the madahib, each one of their books, they have these chapters. Also, they have a chapter about ridda. And about, yani asbab ar-ridda, nawaqid al-Islam, the invalidators of al-Islam. The invalidators of al-Islam. And there are many. They go back to these four points here. So he's saying that, yani, if this is the case, what about this chapter here? What about this chapter here? And each one of these scholars in each one of these books, they mention many different things that just one of them will cause a person to disbelieve and declare the blood of a man and his wealth to be lawful. Until even some of them, they mention things that are considered light. Yani, if he were to do it, like the one who made a statement on his tongue with not even believing it. He made a statement on his tongue, not even believing it. For example, the one who cursed Allah Azza wa Jal. Or the one who cursed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in his heart he doesn't believe it. But he said it on his tongue. He would disbelieve. He would disbelieve. Would not somebody would not say, "What about your heart?" La. If he said it out loud, if he said it out loud, he cursed that Islam. He cursed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cursed Allah azza wa jalla. Waliyadhu billah. He would disbelieve. He would disbelieve, regardless of what is in his heart. Even some of them, they mentioned that if a person, he said the word musayhif. Musayhif is to make is the little. It means little mushaf, little mushaf. So, for example, you have abd is a slave. To say the little slave, you say ubaid. You say ubaid, the little slave, like this. So, in Arabic, you might say that sometimes to joke with people, or to be nice to people, or for other reasons, or even to belittle somebody. even to belittle somebody. So if somebody were to call the Mus'haf, Musayhif, the little Mus'haf like this, but he's not meaning like the little Mus'haf that goes in your pocket. And this one will not cause him to disbelieve. But if he called the Mus'haf, the little Mus'haf, get that little Mus'haf out of like this, then he would disbelieve with that. And he's just by using this term in this manner like this. Many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned this. They have mentioned this. Allah knows best, not all of these affairs are agreed upon. But just to show how detailed it is. And the Hanafiyyah, they have many aspects of this affair. They're the ones who mention the likes of this. They say if one, he said Musayhif or Musayjid, because the masjid is from the rights of al-Islam, and that's mocking it. And the Mus'haf is from the rights of al-Islam, and that's mocking it. And so the point is, then what he's mentioning is true. So they mention many aspects how a person, he will leave Islam in these manners. Some of them are agreed upon, and some of them there's differences of opinion with regards to that. So some of them are even considered light, like these examples here. Like these examples here, meaning it's just a statement on his tongue, even if he didn't believe it in his heart. أو كلمة يذكرها على وجه المزح واللعب. Or a statement that he says on his tongue, just laughing or joking. He's just laughing or joking and he's mocking the religion and the likes like this. He's just passing time laughing and joking. He would disbelieve. So then if that's the case, that one of these people would disbelieve just by laughing or joking or the likes like this, or just making a statement even in his heart he didn't believe it, then how about the one who actually violated the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he called on a grave besides Allah? And he called on a grave besides Allah, and he's hoping or is afraid of the grave besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the author, he's mentioning a number of more points, and inshallah we stop here and continue in our next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.